Scherzo and Trio from the Wind Quintet in E-flat by Anton Reicher. Well, we're celebrating the Commonwealth here on Radio 3 this week with a series of concerts and programmes throughout the week featuring performers and stories from across the Commonwealth. Don't miss our afternoon on 3 concerts featuring orchestras from Australia, New Zealand and Canada. That's all through this week here on BBC Radio 3. Well, now it's time for the Early Music Show, introduced this week by Piers Adams.
Hello. Well, there is only one Bach, or so said the composer J.F. Reichardt in 1774, and he was referring not to Johann Sebastian, as one might think, but rather to his second son, who was born 300 years ago yesterday. So, with this programme, we would like to say a very happy birthday to Carl Philipp Emanuel Bach. Well, that's the opening of C.P.E. Bach's Magnificat, composed in 1749. It was performed there by the Rias Chamber Choir with the Akademie für Alte Musik Berlin, directed by Hans Christoph Rademann, and it's one of quite a number of new recordings that are being made for the C.P.E. Bach 300th anniversary. Carl Philipp Emanuel Bach, known to family and friends as just Emanuel, was born in Weimar on the 8th of March 1714, and he was the second surviving son of Johann Sebastian Bach and his first wife, Maria Barbara. Now, this is the first of 3 early music shows devoted to C.P.E. Bach's anniversary year. In this programme, we'll be finding out what's going on around Europe over the coming months to celebrate the occasion. And in the other 2 shows, we're planning to visit Berlin and Hamburg, 2 of the places where C.P.E. Bach lived and worked, to see for ourselves what's going on. So, today, we'll be making a few phone calls to experts around Bach's native Germany. And we were hoping to be joined in the studio by Christopher Hogwood, one of our own authorities on C.P.E. Bach. In fact, he is the head of the editorial board of the complete edition of C.P.E. Bach's music. But But sadly, Christopher's unwell today and can't join us in the studio. So we'd like to wish him a very speedy recovery by playing a movement from one of his pioneering recordings. This was recorded in 1979. And this is one of the first period instrument recordings of C.P.E. Bach's music. So here's Christopher Hogwood directing the Academy of Ancient Music in the opening movement of the Symphony for Strings in B-flat major. That was the Academy of Ancient Music, directed by Christopher Hogwood, in the first movement of the Symphony for Strings in B-flat major by Carl Philipp Emanuel Bach. And we're now going to talk to the first of our three experts over on the continent. Peter Volney is a world authority on the whole Bach family, and he heads up the Bach Archive in Leipzig. So now let's give him a call.
Hello.
Hello. Peter.
Yes, hi.
Hello, this is Piers Adams on the Early Music Show. Thank you very much for joining us. I wonder if you could tell us, we're fascinated by the life of C.P.E. Bach, and in particular we wanted to talk to you about his early years in Leipzig and what it was like growing up in the Bach family.
Yes, it must have been a very challenging and fascinating, but sometimes also perhaps difficult youth he had.
And he wasn't going to necessarily have a life as a musician, was he? I gather he studied law.
You have to consider that in the 18th century there were no music schools where you could do a professional studies. And what young musicians did is to get some experience in life. They enrolled at the university and studied for a few semesters law or philosophy or theology. And I don't think that CPE ever considered himself going into this direction, but it was just to get some experience in life.
Right, I see. And so how did his first appointment in Berlin come about?
We don't quite know, but he must have met Frederick the Great, the crown prince, sometime during his studies in Frankfurt. The royal family often visited the city, and so it was easily possible for the director of the Collegium Musicum, what C.P. Bach was at this time, to meet members of the royal family.
Because he was, of course, a great musician himself, wasn't he?
Yes, Frederick the Great was a flute player, a student of Johann Joachim Quanz, and he was very interested in music, particularly in his early years as king. And we know that he met a small group of his musicians every afternoon for an hour of chamber music. C.P. Bach had to be present basically every day, and they played the music that the king liked, of course.
What kind of music did the king tend to favour?
Well, he loved the music of his teacher, Johann Joachim Quanz. He loved the music of Johann Adolf Hasse, the Kapellmeister at the court at Dresden. He loved the music of Karl Heinrich Graun. We don't know how much he appreciated the music of C.P.E. Bach, actually. There's one actually very snippy remark that C.P. Bach at one point asked for a raise of salary, and the king said, well, what is he asking for? He only played once in one of my concerts, which means, of course, he had only once the chance within 10 years to play a solo piece by his own, apparently.
What do you think C.P.E. actually thought of Frederick the Great as a musician?
We only have one anecdote when C.P. Bach very slightly criticized the musical abilities of the king and said, Your Majesty has many different rhythms, and this means he didn't play together with the others.
Well, let's hear something from a new recording of flute sonatas played by Musica Ad Rainem, with Jed Wentz playing the part of Frederick the Great on flute, Michael Borgstedter as Emanuel Bach on the harpsichord, and they're joined by Job Ter Haar on cello, and it's from a complete recording of the flute sonatas on the Brilliant Classics label. This is the Sonata in G, Votken 127.
Thank you.
Thank you.
That was Immanuel Bach's Flute Sonata in G Major, Votken 127, and it was played there by Musiker ad Rainem, which is Jed Wentz on the flute, Michael Borgstedter on harpsichord, and Job Ter Haar on cello. And it's from the new recording of Complete Flute Sonatas released by Brilliant Classics. So we're now going to return to Peter Volney over in Leipzig. Peter, I wonder if you could tell us a little bit more about C.P.E. Bach's style.
Well, the style is very gallant. He goes away completely away from the Baroque style, from the contrapuntal type of writing that J.S. Bach featured, and he put more emphasis on melody and expression.
I think expression seems to be the key word when one reads about C.P.E. Bach, that he was he developed this sensitive style of performance and composition which really aims to express the individual emotions. Was this something that was particular to him, or were there lots of musicians at the time developing this style?
Yeah, this was sort of in the air at the time. But C.P. Bach is in a way special because his very individual style is not similar to any other composer of his generation. He brings back considerable amount of the freedom that earlier generations of composers had achieved.
Do you think that C.P.E. Bach is not recognized as much as he should be nowadays?
Well, nowadays he is certainly in the shadow of his great father. And I think that in 2014 there's a realistic chance to revive much of his music and to experience him as a composer in his own right and not simply as the son of a great father.
So are you involved with any of the concerts and celebrations taking place this year?
Oh yes, yeah, we have an upcoming great weekend now with an international conference and some concerts, big birthday concert in the Thomaskirche here. And we are also thinking about the Bach Festival, which is taking place in June right now. Actually, in all of the German C.P.E. Bach towns, there will be a lot of concerts. There will be a big exhibition in the State Library in Berlin that opens actually tomorrow evening. And we will have numerous, I think more than 100 concerts featuring C.P.E. Bach's music in Leipzig, Berlin, Potsdam, Hamburg, and Frankfurt.
So, Peter, for you as an archivist and a leading musicological authority on the music of the Bach family, what's your personal feeling about the music of C.P.E. in particular?
Well, my favorite pieces are the harpsichord concertos. I think his best music is found in the concerto repertoire, but also his solo keyboard music is full of fascinating ideas.
Well, thank you, Peter Volney. So now let's hear one of C.P.E. Bach's harpsichord concertos. This is the concerto in G major, Votken 43, number 5, and it's being played by Miklós Spanyi with the Concerto Armonico Budapest.
Thank you.
That was C.P.E. Bach's Harpsichord Concerto in G Major, Votken 43, No. 5, and it was played there by Miklos Spanyi with Concerto Armonico Budapest. And it's part of a complete recording of C.P.E. Bach's keyboard music on the Beast label, a gargantuan project being undertaken by Spanyi. And in fact, he's the second of our phone calls today.
Miklos?
Oh, hello, Miklos. It's Piers Adams on the Early Music Show here.
Hello. Hello. Very nice to have you on the phone.
Yes, thank you. Where exactly are you speaking to us from?
In Mannheim, at the Musikhochschule.
Okay. Well, I wonder if you could tell us a little bit about this amazing project of all of C.P.E. Bach's keyboard music. How long is it taking you?
Oh, it took about 20 years to record the concertos, the harpsichord concertos, and the last volume was released in January.
Right, so you've completed that part of the project, and what about all of the solo keyboard music?
I still have to record about 10 to 12 CDs, which will make a total of 40 discs, I suppose.
40 discs, 40,
yes.
Well, presumably 40
yeah,
hours.
C.P.E. Bach composed so many sonatas. It's over 150 sonatas, plus the other pieces, fantasias and small character pieces and dances and so on. It takes, for me, about 40 CDs.
Sure.
About it, but
it must be hard getting your head around so much music.
Yeah, it's very much music, I admit, but knowing the style, it's less difficult than preparing music of different composers and of different styles for 40 discs. So I love this style. I play it every day. I'm very familiar with it, so I'm just enjoying it.
Yeah. What can you tell us about the style? What is C.P.E. Bach's sort of distinctive voice?
It's a very personal style. You can already find in his very early works, contained in the Anna Magdalena Bach Klavierbüchlein, small dances, a very dark musical language, very dramatic. He composed, of course, light pieces. The character pieces are meant as entertainment music, or the sonatinas for keyboard instrument and orchestra. That's for the great public. But generally, his language is very serious, reminding me always of Brahms.
Yes, I've heard this said before, that in fact, this style to do with personal expression has more in common with the Romantics almost than the classical composers.
Yes, yeah. Beethoven, Brahms, sometimes a bit of Schumann. It's very close to 19th century, yeah, feelings and expressions. But which is very characteristic is the logical way he structures his music. He sets up huge compositions from very small musical cells, motivic ideas.
So his music always sounds very improvisatory, doesn't it?
It sounds improvisatory, but the structure is fantastic. So you can deduct from every second of the music that, it's not just improvised on the paper, not put on the paper in 5 minutes. It's a very logical and great composition construction, I would say.
So tell me about C.P. Bach's preferred instrument. It wasn't the harpsichord, I gather.
It was the clavichord. Although he played regularly harpsichord and early fortepiano at the Prussian court, at home he often used his clavichord. He loved his famous Silbermann clavichord. And I think that was typical for the whole period, for the time, for the second half of the 18th century, that the clavichord was the choice number one when performing, at least at home, solo keyboard music.
And so what is it about the clavichord that you find particularly expressive?
I suppose the dynamic possibilities on the clavichord, the dynamic scale, is actually larger from pianissimo to fortissimo than on a Steinway grand piano. But the instrument generally is very soft. His own playing is described as a continuous playing with light and shadow. I think the shadows and light he could express very well on his clavichord, and the clavichord is very suitable to that.
Well, let's hear the keyboard sonata in C major, and it's on volume 27 of the complete keyboard music of C.P.E. Bach, played by Miklos Spanyi. Thank you. Well, that was the extraordinary sound of Miklos Spanyi's clavichord, an instrument which even caused our engineer in the studio to raise her eyebrows, saying it sounded like a synthesizer or something electronic. It really is one of those sounds that we just don't hear very often these days. He was playing C.P.E. Bach's keyboard sonata in C major, the last movement of that work, and it's part of the complete keyboard works of C.P.E. Bach on the BIS label. Well, after almost 30 years in the service of Frederick the Great, C.P. Bach decided it was time to move on. In fact, he had tried unsuccessfully on two previous occasions to get his father's old job as music director in Leipzig. But he finally, in 1768, succeeded in extracting himself from Frederick's court, citing a flare-up of his gout as an excuse for leaving. And he was appointed musical director of the principal churches in Hamburg, where he succeeded not his father, but his godfather, George Philipp Telemann. And we're going to go over to Hamburg now, where we have on the line Ira Hochmann, musical director, conductor and harpsichordist with the ensemble Barockwerk Hamburg.
Hello.
Hello, Ira.
Yes.
Hello, it's Piers Adams here. I'm calling you from the BBC studios in London. We're just looking at the life and times of C.P.E. Bach, and we wanted to talk to you because you live in the city in which he spent his final 20 years. And we just really wanted to get an idea about how he was regarded there in that city in Hamburg.
Well, he was certainly very well appreciated. Hamburg was so proud of him that they actually gave him a by name of Hamburgen Bach. He was director and cantor of five main churches. And he was supposed to perform over 200 concerts a year. So he was very exposed with his work. You're supposed to or compose all this music or provide it in a sense of sort of pasting it together. And he performed many works of his father and his musician colleagues from Berlin, but also his own music. He was probably, as Charles Burney said about him, the main musical attraction of the city.
Well, I guess Telemann's shoes must have been quite big shoes to fill because obviously he'd been very, very successful there for a long time.
Well, I think Bach had this task anyway as a son of Johann Sebastian Bach. I mean, he was a true genius, I think.
Can you tell us a little bit about what's going on in Hamburg this year in celebration of C.P. Bach?
Well, about 2 years ago, Hamburg's Ministry of Culture came up with an initiative to celebrate his birthday and to coordinate all the activities. And indeed, there's a network that includes six cities. There's a homepage It has information about his life in different stages and different places. It lists new recordings of his work, and it has a calendar of all the activities, which are over 200 all over Germany. And there are more than 90 of them in Hamburg. And there are concerts, there are exhibitions and symposia. And I think we're all going to get to know a lot of his music that we didn't know before.
It sounds like it's about time.
Yes.
And
I think so too.
Just one final question. We're running short on time here. Just really wanted to get a perspective on how you feel about the music of C.P.E. Bach, how you feel it fits into musical history, and what's your personal take on his style?
You hear that he is a son of his father. You hear fantastic voice leading. You hear the tradition. But the outcome of it is sometimes not only something that reaches up to a Viennese classic, I think. He's a true forerunner. To me, it goes as far as Franz Schubert. There are songs of him that have such a romantic, touching character that it really sounds much later. I could even sing you one.
Well, we'd love that, but sadly we really have run out of time on this one. So, okay, well, thank you very much for speaking to us. It's been a great pleasure to have you on the show, and good luck with all of the celebrations in Hamburg.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. And so we're going to end with one of C.P.E. Bach's great choral works, in fact, his final choral work, Heilig ist Gott. It's a piece which he was obviously very proud of. He described it as an attempt using entirely natural and commonplace harmonic progressions to arouse much greater attention and emotion than can be achieved with the most anguished chromaticism. And he went on to say, somewhat immodestly, "It will be my swan song of this kind and will serve to ensure that I will not soon be forgotten after my death."
final part of Heilig ist Gott by Carl Philipp Emanuel Bach from the new recording by the Rias Chamber Choir with the Akademie für Alte Musik Berlin, conducted by Hans Christoph Rademann. The early music show was presented by Piers Adams and the producer was Roger Short. Well, now here's Sarah Moore-Peach, who's popped into the studio to tell us about the choir at 4 o'clock. Sarah, what's cooking?
Well, loads cooking. I'll tell you about one thing, which is my choral classic, which I'll be playing at 5 o'clock. Movements from Palestrina's Missa Papae Marcelli. I've got the iconic recording from the Tallis Scholars. This is the piece that supposedly saved music. And if you want to find out how exactly it did that, then tune into the choir, which is in an hour's time.
Thank you very much, Sarah. Well, now it's just gone 3 o'clock and it's time for Choral Evensong, which was first broadcast live last Wednesday, Ash Wednesday, from Gloucester Cathedral. The psalm appointed for Ash Wednesday is Psalm 51, sung in Latin to the music of Gregorio Allegri. The canticles are the short service by the 16th century English composer Thomas Causton. And the anthem, with words also from Psalm 51, is Samuel Wesley's Cast Me Not Away From Thy Presence. The service opens now with an introit by Henry Purcell, setting words from Psalm 102. Hear my prayer, O Lord, and let my crying come unto thee.
Welcome to Gloucester Cathedral for this service of Evensong on Ash Wednesday. We particularly welcome those listening at home or elsewhere and joining our worship as we begin the season of Lent. Lent has been observed since the earliest days of the Church as a time of waiting and learning and growing. By a careful keeping of these days, all of us may take to heart the call to repentance and the assurance of forgiveness proclaimed in the Gospel. To help us reflect, the choir will sing Allegri's setting of Psalm 51, the psalm appointed for today, composed in the early 17th century.
Et in peccatis concepit mem mater meum.